do we really want to be led by the Lord? Do we really want the Lord to speak to us and tell us his plan? Or are we waiting with excuses ready to go for why we don't want to do it his way?
Welcome to this week's episode of the His Hill Podcast. My name is Kelly Daugherty, and I'm your host. You know, without a doubt, one of the most common questions I've been asked is, how do I know God's will for me? If this is your question, maybe it would be more profitable if you would first consider whether or not you really want to know God's will, or if it would be more accurate for you to say, I'm wanting God to come around to my will and my abilities. You see, so often we can find it difficult to believe that what God is working in our hearts is really of Him, because the fulfillment of it would be beyond what we know ourselves capable of. And then sometimes the problem is the opposite, in that we think, this can't be God's will because it's too easy for me to do. Do you see that in both scenarios, the problem is you? It's too hard for you, or it's too easy for you. If you think God's will is limited to your ability, then it's not God you're wanting to hear from. Paul explained his understanding of this when he wrote in Philippians 4, 12 and 13, I know how to get along with humble means, and also I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You see, God's will requires His enabling, whether it be difficult or easy. Sam Hatfield, whom I introduced to you as he gave his testimony a couple of weeks ago in episode 136, will now lead us in a devotion on the topic of discerning God's will. If you haven't yet listened to Sam's testimony, then I encourage you to do that. Again, it's in episode 136. Well, if you're in a position to do so, grab your Bible and turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Here's Sam.
Something I've been thinking about a lot is this question of discerning the Lord's will for our lives. I think this is a question that many Christians wrestle with and wonder, how can I know the Lord's will? And I want to look at two pictures from Scripture that talk about God's will, specifically what I would call commissionings. And I'd like to look at Moses and Jeremiah and just unpack a little bit of what happens to them when they receive directly from the Lord what His will is for their life, how that's received, the impact it has on their lives, and how we can learn from that and maybe help us understand hearing the Lord's voice, help us understand discerning His will, and help us understand what is it that He is calling us to. And so in Jeremiah chapter 1, there's a very famous passage, a famous section of Scripture that you've probably heard before, but I'll read it anyways. It starts in verse 4, and it's when Jeremiah receives his calling. Jeremiah 1, verse 4, Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Really beautiful two verses there. Jeremiah receives his calling. I feel like this is something that we dream of, many of us as believers. Lord, if you would just break into the scene, if you would just tell us what your plan is for our lives, wouldn't things be so much simpler? He gets to tell Jeremiah. Jeremiah gets to hear exactly what God's plan is, that he's going to be a prophet. If you've read this chapter before, you know that despite the fact we may desire that, this news was not exactly welcome news to Jeremiah. He responds in verse 6, Then I said, Ah, or alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a youth, For to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Jeremiah responds with concern. He responds and says he's too young. And I think many of us have wondered, how old was Jeremiah? It's one of the first questions that pops into my mind, probably pops into your mind when you hear him say, I'm only a youth. How old was he? Another thing that pops into my mind is that story when Moses in Exodus 4 is talking to the Lord in the burning bush. And I'd love to turn there to Exodus 4 and just read a few verses to you guys. It's such a similar response. I think they're helpful to look at together. They each expose to us similar truths, though there's a slightly different excuse, is what I'll call it, a different excuse given by Moses than by Jeremiah. In Exodus 4, verse 10, it says, but Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Moses responds to the Lord, asking him to go speak to Pharaoh and be a part of this liberation of God's people from the Egyptians. And in response to this calling, this commissioning from the Lord, Moses says, I don't know how to speak. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not eloquent. Many times we've wondered what Moses meant by that, slow of speech and of tongue. And Hebrew scholars have dove in deeply into the study of the word to try to unpack what Moses really meant. Many say perhaps he had a stutter, and that was the root of his insecurity. That was the root of his excuse. I think each of these stories is really fascinating because this is the type of thing that we, I think, dream of. This is the type of thing that we're hoping for, that the Lord would bust into the scene and tell us exactly what his plan is for our lives. This is what happens with Moses. This is what happens with Jeremiah. I'm not sure if we would really want this to happen to us, many of us. I'm not sure if we truly desire for the Lord to burst onto the scene and tell us exactly what his plans are for our life. I wonder if we truly desire for the Lord to lead our lives. This is something I want to dig into here. Think about the scene here. With Moses, not only did the Lord tell him explicitly what he wanted to do, he gave Moses multiple signs to display to Moses the fact that he meant what he said. Moses is nervous. It says in verse 1 of chapter 4, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. Moses is nervous. He won't have enough proof. He won't have enough evidence to show that the Lord really appeared to him. The Lord then shows Moses multiple miracles, turning his staff into a snake, turning his hand leprous, and then healing it, and assuring Moses that if those signs are not enough, I have many more that I could show, talking about turning the Nile to blood. Those things come before Moses' excuse. Moses says, I'm not eloquent. I can't do this. I can't speak. We know for Jeremiah, when we think about him, that he grew up the son of a priest. His father, Hilkiah, was a priest. Jeremiah would have been well-versed in the law, very knowledgeable about God's word. And when the Lord bursts into the scene and tells Jeremiah about his calling, telling Jeremiah how he's going to use Jeremiah to bring his people back to the law, bring them back to the promises he's made, Jeremiah was very equipped for that, and the Lord displays to Jeremiah his desire to use him. And I think for Moses and for Jeremiah, there's something interesting going on here. The Lord did not make a wrong choice. He wasn't incorrect in choosing Moses. You know, we may think, okay, Lord, if Moses has a stutter, why would you choose him? Why wouldn't you choose Aaron? He goes on later to say that he knows Aaron can speak. He knows he's a good speaker. The Lord says that, not Moses. So the Lord obviously knows that he could have chose somebody else, but he didn't choose somebody else. The Lord was not uncertain how old Jeremiah was when he bursted into the scene. I think it's interesting as believers for us, why we become so drawn to the excuses that these guys give. It's interesting that on the first time reading, we often want to know more about the excuse instead of more about the fact that they're not obeying, that they're not listening to the Lord. We want to know more about the excuse. I think we want to know more about the excuse because we want to decide if the excuse is good or not. And the reason we want to decide that is because I think many times in our lives, we love to give excuses to not do the things the Lord has called us to do. We love to give excuses. We are interested in Moses' excuse because we want to know if that's the type of excuse that we would maybe give. Okay, if he has a stutter, then I would consider that to be a good excuse. If Jeremiah was perhaps under 12 years old, we would maybe say, oh, that's actually a really good excuse, Jeremiah. That's something that I can understand. We want to decide if the excuse is good enough so that we can decide if our excuses in our life are good enough. And I think it gets to the root of my question, which is really, do we really want to be led by the Lord? Do we really want the Lord to speak to us and tell us his plan? Or are we waiting with excuses ready to go for why we don't want to do it his way? I wonder if any of us would be interested in the type of calling that these men are receiving, where they will have to, in many ways, sacrifice throughout their whole life numerous things, give things up. Jeremiah seems to know right away when he receives his commission that this is going to be a very difficult calling. Moses knows this is going to be a difficult calling. I think it's fascinating because the Lord made no mistakes in choosing Moses or Jeremiah. I think he actually was very discerning. I think the Lord desires to take those of us who are very equipped. He takes those of us who are naturally maybe gifted in certain areas, and oftentimes I think desires to use us in those giftings, which is a really cool thing. Just to kind of make my point, Moses was perhaps the only option for this calling. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house. Moses was raised by Egyptians. Moses spoke the Egyptian language. Moses knew the Egyptian laws. Moses was trained in the Egyptian ways. And it actually says, it's a really fascinating passage from Acts chapter 7. It actually says in Acts chapter 7, let me turn there really quick. In Acts chapter 7, verse 20, about Moses, at this time Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight. He was brought up for 3 months in his father's house, and when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. It's kind of an interesting verse, verse 22, saying Moses was mighty in his words and deeds. Moses seems to think in chapter 4 that he's not a good speaker, that God has made a poor choice, that he should send somebody else, he should choose somebody else. I think it's interesting how we see that Moses was actually a wonderful choice, and many of us could acknowledge that when we look at his past. He was a great choice. Like I said about Jeremiah already, he was the son of the priest. He knew the law. He was an exceptional choice. He also has a very tender and loving heart towards his people. I think the Lord chose Jeremiah because he was an excellent choice. But all that being said, at the end of the day, what's crazy is even though it was a good choice, even though that they were in some senses perhaps the most equipped for the job, they're right that they can't do it. They're both correct. Moses says, I can't do this. Jeremiah says, I can't do this. Now let's look at the Lord's response when they say that. I think oftentimes in our lives, when we think, I can't do this, what we hope is that the Lord will give us a pep talk. Christians are very guilty of this. When we see somebody struggling, often our instinct, I think in our flesh, our fleshly instinct can say, oh, I need to encourage that person. I need to uplift that person. I need to tell them, hey, you can do this. I know you can do it. You're strong enough. Keep pushing. You've got this. This is not the way that the Lord responds to Moses or Jeremiah when they say, I can't do it. God says, I never asked you to. I never asked you to do it, Moses. I never asked you to do this, Jeremiah, on your own, by yourself. What I asked you to do was enter into what I'm doing and to be a mouthpiece for me. The Lord's response is beautiful and powerful, challenging. Let's look at both of them. In Exodus 4, the Lord's response in verse 11, the Lord says to Moses, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. Moses, it's okay if you don't think you're eloquent. It's okay if you feel underqualified, because I'm going with you and I will tell you what to say, and I will provide the power to show the people that I am God. I am Yahweh, the one who sends you. Jeremiah chapter 1, similar. We see something very similar here. Jeremiah says to the Lord in response, frustratedly, in verse 6, alas, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak. I think it's an interesting response from Jeremiah. He says, behold. Behold is such an audacious word to use to God. Behold, like, let me inform you of something, Lord. Let me teach you something, Lord. Let me tell you something, Lord, that it seems like you don't know. Behold, I'm too young and I don't know how to speak. The Lord says in response to him, verse 7, do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. I love the contrast. Jeremiah says, I'm too young. Jeremiah says, I can't speak. The Lord says, Jeremiah, don't say that, because I'm not worried about what you bring to the table. Because wherever I send you is where you're going to go. You don't have to worry about what to do. I'm going to tell you. And when you think about what you should say, I'm going to command you what to speak. My words. He goes on to say in verse 9, then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. The Lord tells Jeremiah, do you want to be a part of what I'm doing? I will put my words in your mouth. Don't worry about what you bring to the table. I'm not limited by that. And so to circle back to our initial question, when we think about the Lord's will, when we think about this desire that we have to be led by the Lord, this desire for him to speak to us, I think we have to ask the question, firstly, do I really want that? Do I want that? And then secondly, do I know where the power comes from to do the things that he calls me to do? And I think the reason many of the times we say we want the Lord to lead our lives, but perhaps don't actually want him to lead our lives, is exposed in the fact that when I look at the things that he's already called us to as believers, the things that are his will for his people, we're not doing them. A lot of times we're already not doing the things he's called us to. And I think it's because we believe, I can't do that. I can't do that, Lord. I know I'm supposed to be, you know, holy and loving and thankful and humble and all these things, but I can't do that, God. So can you tell me to do something else? Can you pick something else for me? Like Moses says, can you choose someone else to do that, Lord? I know I'm supposed to do it, but I can't do that. Within me, Lord, there's not the ability to make that happen. And I think in some senses you could picture the Lord saying, you're absolutely right, Moses. You can't do it, but that's okay. I'm going with you. I'm the power. I'm the words. I'm directing you. I'm guiding you. I'm protecting you. And I want you guys to consider this. Think about this. In your life, as you desire to submit your life to the Lord, as you desire for your life to be led by His will, ask yourself, are you doing the things already that He's called you to as a believer? It says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 through 8, that we're called to be holy, avoiding sin, specifically sexual sin. That's God's will for us. It says in John 15, 17, that we should love one another. That's God's will for us. It says in John 16, 33, that we will have trials and suffering. That's God's will for us. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, we're called to be thankful. That's God's will for us. Luke 9, 23, we're called to deny ourselves, picking up our cross daily. That's God's will for us. Micah 6, verse 8 calls us to be humble. That's the Lord's will for you. Ephesians 2, 10, we are called to do good. That's the Lord's will for you. Hebrews 11, 1 calls us to have faith. That's God's will in our lives. And the list is endless, guys. The list goes on and on. As you study the word and you learn what the Lord's will is for you, do you understand that He is the one who equips you to do those things? And perhaps before asking the Lord to break into the scene and tell you His plan, ask yourself, am I looking at the word and am I submitting my life to what He's already called me to? Or am I perhaps like Moses or perhaps like Jeremiah saying, Lord, I know that that's your will, but you should choose somebody else because I can't do that. He chooses us. He equips us. He is the power in and through us to do the things that He calls us to do. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the His Hill Podcast. We hope you enjoyed hearing from Sam Hatfield, the principal at Timberline Lodge in Fraser, Colorado. Thanks so much for listening. As of today, our students are officially off campus for spring break and will be returning to us March 24th. Our second years left for Greece on Tuesday, and the Albania crew headed out for Europe yesterday morning. Please pray for the students and their time away that they would come back to us rejuvenated and ready to close out the school year well. Once again, you've been listening to the His Hill Podcast featuring our host, Kelly Doherty, and Sam Hatfield. Thank you so much for tuning in with us this week. Remember to keep your eyes fixed on Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm Lizzie, and we'll see you next week.